Hey folks, Cole here. I just want to give you a heads up that the response window for the next roundtable episode is now open. If you go to our Patreon page, if you're hearing this episode, you have access to the comment thread. Look for it explicitly to be named. But we are taking responses about Ronnie's whole quest line. Basically everything we've done since the previous roundtable. So from after we killed Radahn up through, let's say Lake of Rot. And, when you get up to that little plateau there, the deadline for those responses is going to be December the 6th, by the end of day there. So look out for that post. You probably should have gotten an email notification about it. Please write in your responses, keep them, brief. Please, and specific to the area, and specific stories are always, kind of more interesting for us than kind of broad generalizations, stuff like that. Cool. Enjoy the episode.
Some of our landings were desperate adventures. We are now prepared to meet the inevitable counterattacks with power and with confidence.
I will soon lay with Godwin, and it will surely stir within me the new life of the Golden Prince and first dead of the demigods as the rune of those who live in death. Please, do one thing for me. Brandish this child, my rune, and take for yourself the throne. Stay the persecution of those who live in death by becoming our Elden Lord.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Bonfireside Chat. It is a Fiji favorite.
And this week we are talking about Deeper Depths, actually part two, continuing our discussion of Deep Root Depths. Going to meet that big old twisted god himself, Godwin. Or at least, stand near him.
God lose. That's what happened to him.
Got his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad your ass got sacked.
Nice touch point, don't you know? Oh, it's been a long time since I thought about Fensler films. Yay.
They're still good. If you ever want to have a good time, if you haven't watched them in a while, like it's old internet and it's made exclusively by awful people.
Of course.
Who I think are dead. But the weekend web cartoons are still very funny. with all those caveats.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just like, what happens when a wife beater teams up with a child molester? Hilarity ensues.
Oh, boy.
Something awful. God damn it.
Go. It did so much good for us. And now?
Yeah, and now in this, thematically resonant. What did we do last time?
Well, last time we took a coffin luge, a reverse luge. We rode a coffin up a waterfall to reach Deep Root Depths, a former eternal city leveled by a big sky bug and overtaken by those in service of Godwin, the Prince of Death. To remind you why we are down here, we're taking a little detour from Ronnie's quest and following some leads, looking for Fia after she straight up murked D, the Hunter of the Dead, in Roundtable Hold and gave a pretty badass speech.
This is the witch section, the middle where we go and serve some witches.
We're in the witch ditch.
Like, yeah, in the witch ditch. Go check out your ending witches. Which ending witch do you choose? You know? And por qué no los dos? I'll take them both, baby. So we had to climb up this thing. If you remember, we're down on the ground in Basilisk Town here. And their roots have taken over the city. We have to climb up. And these all have turrets in the form of these malformed gargoyles.
Yeah. I hate this. I don't know. I said this last episode when we were on those other roots, which are not really a problem. This is a problem. I've died falling off of these so many times, either because of the attacks trying to get through them because of like weird lock-on things, camera working against me, just an awful lot of fallen from these things down to my death.
How would you compare it to the roots of the Hallig tree?
I'm fine with the roots of the Hallig tree. I don't remember dying on that as many times as I died on this.
Gotcha.
That was a longer time ago, though, and that bad taste may have washed away. I know people hate the Hallig tree, the branches up there. Not a big deal for me in my recollection.
I died a lot more during that because there were largely because it was harder to see. Like there are mm-hmm. more ambushes for guys blowing bubbles at you.
Yeah.
I think this is just was really tailored to my form of play, which I went into Shrine of Amana mode and just sniped things.
Yes.
From a distance. Like I always on my first playthrough for definitely in any Souls game, I have a ranged option that I spec at least, halfway into.
Yeah.
So I just was looking for gargoyles and shooting them. And ended up taking everything out before it could get to me. So I did not have a big problem with this. I did get ambushed a lot more in the Hallig tree.
Yeah. It's ultimately not that huge of a deal because your site of grace is so close. Like it's basically right at the bottom of the route that you take to get above the town. It's just, it was irritating. I especially kind of made note of it. These gargoyles, remember, they kind of do some perfumer tricks. It kind of seems that whoever made them was, at least familiar with those arts. They throw out that, that powder. A thing that kind of got me about it was how deceptively large that fire is, as it goes. It ends up, kind of covering a lot of footage on those routes there. And, it would just end up throwing me off of Torrent or, obscuring my vision. Something happened. I could also just not be good at this game, but
you fugued.
Yeah, I fugued.
Yeah, fugue state. fugue and hard. It makes sense for them to have perfumer tech.
Yeah.
Given where we find most of these legless gargs. On the way up here, we can find an item at the top of one of these cathedral spires, the Prince of Death's Staff, which is a catalyst that scales with both intelligence and faith. Mm-hmm. And enhances death sorceries. Death sorceries are like basically the ones where you send ghosts
out,
at people.
You get the skulls.
You shoot out skulls, but not the flaming skulls that you shoot out with Rykard's stuff. If a non-flaming skull it be, death sorcery. If a skull on fire, Rykard's ire. So this is really interesting from a meta standpoint. So I follow the Fextra Life YouTube, which I was just thinking about that. Like those guys really come into their own. We used to really have a pretty strong preference for their competitors, Wikidot, back in the day, just because of layout reasons. Fextra Life has gotten really good.
It has. So I got beef with their search, though.
there's a lot of problems with the website.
Yeah, but the actual content and stuff has gotten really good. A lot better. Yeah.
But they do build guides that I'll watch just to kind of keep an eye on high level like PvP and stuff. And it took a long time for them to eventually find a good Prince of Death staff one that works. This was a very niche item.
Yeah.
Mechanically.
Yeah. It's so the fact that it has int and faith, what do they end up making that works? That worked for that, by the way?
Enough boosting things and then balance patches that made the skull shooting spells better. It didn't work for all of them. The my favorite of the death sorceries is the one that just summons a bunch of skeletons to like stab a spot in the air. That thing's great, but it does, it has too long of a delay to be worth it. Enemies move too much.
Yeah. So the fact that this is both intelligence and faith like weirdly lines it up, because I'm trying to take a look here. There are also those items in Elfhail, the ones that are associated with Mikula and their spells, and also weirdly with Gold Mask as well, the fundamentalist incantations. Basically, like the idea that any given spell or incantation in these worlds needs to be either just int or just faith. Is it's like a fake idea by both the Golden Order and by the Academy, Raya Lucaria. All of these, you know, apostate or, you know, roughly like evolved kind of factions here are able to meld those. Which is an interesting little lore note here. The note is, you know, one of the staves deemed heretical by the Academy for its ability to allow sorceries to be augmented through faith in addition to intelligence. So, you know, the fact that there is that like weird little doctrine that keeps people from, you know, either developing the wisdom to question the Academy or develop the intelligence to question the Golden Order is a neat little touch.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also worth noting this isn't new to the Souls games.
No.
There is often a catalyst or talisman that will cast with, you know, the opposite stat.
Yeah.
That is in a heretical position. Mm-hmm. That's as old as Dark Souls 1.
Yes.
You know, this idea of the stats dovetailing with the reality mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah.
When you get up to the top of this ridge, there's a site of grace. Which you want. This is going to be a boss run for multiple bosses and is also just a relief after the gargoyle roots. We make our way forward through this this crack to reach this big kind of swampy field. And at the far end, we get one of those like things that FromSoft is better at doing than most game companies. These like breathtaking, you know, you've been looking for somebody and fuck you, you found them. You know, Vendrick kind of moments, like just like here you go, and it's this real, like very striking and haunting image of Godwin the Golden.
Yeah, you might not even recognize him at first. You know, we've only
second, like he's really transformed. Like this is, he's having a rough time.
Yeah.
You know,
bad day for Godwin. I'm happy that you brought that up because it can be easy to forget. You know, the last mm-hmm. that we saw of Godwin was in those opening, you know, it's in the opening in those paintings that we saw, right, where we see him being being stabbed.
Well, and we saw his face under the castle as well.
Yeah, but the we didn't know that was him.
we can put it together. We didn't know for sure, like Roger hinted and all that jazz.
So here he is, you know, we see at the far end of the swampy field kind of the source of this kind of grayish miasma that we've been walking through, and also the source of all of the death root, this gigantic root bulb into which is growing the gigantic dead body of Godwin the Golden, who no longer looks human at all, really.
No. Yeah, it's hard to describe what he looks like. There are elements, it's Lovecraftian in a specific and direct way, and by mm-hmm. which I mean if you actually read Lovecraft, that has become short form for tentacly.
Yes.
By people. But if you read it, all of his monsters are chimera. Yeah. They're all, you know, somehow had an aspect of bats and also goats and also seals and also penguins. Mm-hmm. That's what this is, because this is a big, like kind of flat faced plant fish mm-hmm. thing. Like it has scales that are growing on it. It has a weird curved tail.
Yeah.
It is chimerical.
Yeah.
It's a chimerical.
You might not even recognize that it has a face because it is so like twisted, kind of like
it's sideways.
Yeah, arc to the side. So the fact that it has eyes can be obscured to you as well. And those eyes end up being the motif for Godwin to a certain degree. Like you end up seeing, I believe it was Zully who did a video kind of calling some of this out. Those eyes are fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Things that have been infected with death root, mm-hmm. like the idea of the death root that's being born from him being of him as well in a really mm-hmm. direct way. It's not just a disease or a like a force. Mm-hmm. It's influenced by him even after his, you know, his soul is dead.
Yeah.
Like that's really interesting. Like the idea that this thing that is plant like is taking on elements of its host.
Uh-huh. Kind of.
Yeah. You know, it's good. Well, it's really good and creepy.
It's like a fungal, it's like a fungal infection to a degree, fungi, large batches of it, huge colonies. They basically grow along root networks and stuff. That's precisely what is happening with this, because this is a root ball from the Erd tree. And that's why it's popping up, and why part of why it's considered to be such a threat is that it is this invading force that is rotting rotting these roots from the from the bottom and going about the entire land over the network of these things.
It would be that if roots. Like
yeah,
if a guy died and fell in it and then all the mushrooms and all the roots had his face.
Yes. Yeah,
like it's that, but it's also creepier than that because it's influenced mm-hmm. by a person. It's not oh, yeah. there's a personality behind it. It's not just the mm-hmm. virality of fungus.
Yeah. Divested of his soul, and something else moved in, and he grew along with it.
And it still kind of remembers what it was.
Yeah.
Just really great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really A+ moment in my first playthrough.
Yeah,
I'm seeing this.
It's like, okay, we're not going to be talking to this guy, getting a lot of answers. Mm-mm. You know,
no, it's I love it so much.
How do we think his body got down here? Do you think that they just ended up trying to bury him, give him the big Erd tree burial? Like,
I don't know. So it's possible. It's whether he got here and then people flocked to him. Like we know Fia mm-hmm. went to him, and we have to decide if like Fortisax came to guard him.
Right.
Down there, or if it was the other way, mm-hmm. Because he's part of a root system, right? So like his face manifests in another area that's important to him. We talked about him being under Stormveil.
Yeah.
His body could have grown here because of Fortisax being here as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Like the travel through the roots, and this is where I'm not convinced this is the body fall.
Okay.
As so much as like it can kind of move and grow
around. Yeah.
I don't think we have enough information for mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
So, and if it was a burial, it's a shitty ass burial because it's just on a big swamp. There's no bearing about it.
Yeah. Like, everybody who got the Erd tree burial was just thrown onto the root bulbs in a catacomb that happened to have some traps in it. So. Yeah.
Well, that at least doesn't have a stairway that I guess it does have a stairway that goes to it. This feels much more like a neighborhood and a neighborhood that doesn't have a strong connection to Godwin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
When we get close, we do a boss fight. Mm-hmm. Fog barrier pops up and it is boss fight time.
It is boss fight time as we are brought in to Fia's champions.
And this is a really interesting take on, again, something FromSoft has iterated on dozens of times, or not dozens of times, but many times, like at least once in every game has something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, these are people who hugged Fia.
Yeah.
If you accepted Fia's comfort, she made a copy of you. She copied your floppy. Or copied your turgid, depending on what the hug was like, and summoned you here.
Yeah.
So it's just NPC fights, but it has a little bit of extra resonance because it has a place in the story of the, of what's happening here. Like this is a satisfying fight to fight Fia
mm-hmm.
rather than just having her be like a caster that like floats around and throws skulls at you.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Remember what she said about kind of the nature of her power and her role as a deathbed companion. She would lie with people and take a little bit of their strength. And then ultimately, she was attempting to use that to bring back a dead king. Right.
Mm.
The fact that like this is all just like little bits and pieces of people. Kind of incorporated into her is neat. Even people, beyond death, like Rogier's dead. He's dead as fuck.
Yeah. But we get him.
Yeah.
She copied his floppy. Like we fight him first, it's him with his rapier and his spells. No big deal at all.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you fight what seems like a random NPC invader. This is something that came out. We talked about this when it was revealed, but mm-hmm. this, we didn't know this when the game came out, that this was another player who had hugged Fia. Another similar to the Jar champions.
Yeah.
You know, That's pretty neat. A cool way to do asynchronous PvP.
Yeah. Well, this was people kind of like packet sniffing, kind of seeing, yeah, like, okay, there's an event here in the code that is uploading something whenever you hug. We need to figure out where this goes. And they eventually deduced, I'm sorry, I don't know who did that, but they eventually deduced that it's coming here.
Yeah. So just, and this is, again, no problem because an AI controlled NPC, not a big deal. But then the final one, they do a 3-on-1. It's two player copies. And then Lionel, the Lionhearted, who we've seen in descriptions and stuff. And he helped us with Radahn.
Yeah.
He's the guy with the chonky armor.
Yeah. He's got this game's onion armor. Yeah. And he's a guy who encountered Fia after she was cast out of her homeland and declared himself to be her father. He pulled a Tim Heidecker. Nice little witch you got here, huh? Where you been hiding this witch?
Where'd you get this witch? Yeah. And Fia, you know, did her service. Mm-hmm. When we get to Lindell, we can find where she laid by his side as he died, mm-hmm, in Lindell, where we can find his body. Get his gear, get some of Fia's clothes, again blurring that line between like what a deathbed companion is like. Mm-hmm. I don't think canonically sex is involved.
No.
It's just they're using the language of it on purpose.
Yeah, it's an intimacy, more than
it's an intimacy. Yeah, it's taking things that are adjacent to that to borrow some weight.
Yeah,
you know, like a companion, like a, you know, a comfort. Like it's, that's definitely on purpose.
Yes.
You know, that's happening here, even if it's not canonically what's happening.
Mm-hmm. See folks who complained about us talking about the puppets. Not everything has to be salacious.
Yeah. But some things at least are salacious adjacents.
Mm-hmm.
So this three on one can be tough. Mm-hmm. I summon for this because if you're not going to fight fair, I'm not going to fight fair.
Of course.
And then it ends up becoming no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just, it's kind of a, Lionel himself, not that big of a deal. Just hits hard, swings slow, yeah, kind of guy. It really just depends on the die roll you get for the other two.
Yeah. How many rivers of blood, samurai ass motherfuckers, do you want to fight?
Yeah.
Like, goddamn bleed builds. Once you beat them all, they drop Fia's Mist. This is a death sorcery. It inflicts death blight. It only works on tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like something you can use like the Night Maiden's Mist. Right. In PvE, really. And it was a sorcery that was made to oppose the roundtable hold.
Right.
That's why it only works on the tarnished, similar to Deathblight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot Deathblight, a monster in this game. It has to be a person.
Yes. She probably would have developed this to oppose the roundtable hold, A, just to go against the Golden Order in general, B, to specifically go after tarnished who were attempting to take the throne, which she, you know, wants to do with her rune and stuff like that. And also she wanted to get the Hallowbrand back. She had to go there and storm the place in order to
a lot of self-defense too, given that, like, you know, the two of the premier warriors we see for the Golden Order, mm-hmm, are specifically tasked with killing her and everything she stands for.
True.
Yeah. You know, so
makes sense.
So when, after this happens, when companions are gone, we can see Fia, she's there on this little altar underneath Godwin's face, a companion till the end, you know, on his deathbed, like his literal, where, mm-hmm, he is dead and in bed. And she assumes, yeah, Rupert, she assumes that you're there to kill her because that's what all these motherfuckers from the roundtable hold have been doing.
These dogmatic brutes of the Golden Order. I love that. Just, you know, fully not mask off because, you know, I think the mask off moment was when she killed D. Just, you know, she's not on the roundtable hold anymore. She can be candid with you. And she, right, you know, you just killed a bunch of her champions, though they attacked you first. You know, she has reason to be skittish about this, you know, because they're going to want to come and get that Hallowbrand back.
Well, and she doesn't have any, you know, somebody who is associated with the Golden Order showing up here is bad news.
Yes.
And she's no longer under the protection of the Roundtable Hold.
Mm-hmm.
When she's here, she was committed enough to her mission to give up that protection. So if you say, like, yeah, I'm here for that, she says, just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the companion of Godwin. I would love to become the mother of those who live in death, you know, but kill me if you want. You know, I can't do anything about it. We're in the roundtable hold. I'm not going to do a boss fight where I float around throwing skulls at you.
And she's revealing here by saying this, and taking this position, exactly how selfless her position is, you know? So it is that any loathing, any hatred that overshadows them, those who live in death, I must bear as a matter of duty with my own flesh. She is taking on the role of a mother, protector, mama bear very seriously with this. She's putting it on the line.
Zombie mommy. If you say no, like, it's very funny. She's like, oh, you're probably here to kill me too. Like, no, I just want to be held. it's such a funny meta moment given how fandoms react to like a pretty lady that will give you a hug in a game. Like, it all works on the cert, you know, on the text of the game, and then from a just a gamer standpoint, you know, just be like, no, I just want more hug, you know, I just want to pet the dog. Like, it's very cute to me, having that dialogue option and have her be like, oh, was a delight.
They call me a foul and rotten witch, yet you wish to be held by me. You know, yeah. She doesn't have a lot of friends, you know, at least not a lot of friends, you know, with soft parts that you can hug. Most of them are bony boys.
She's probably friends with a lot of skeletons.
Yeah.
You know, living the dream there. Skeletons and basilisks, you know, just, yeah, lonely. When she holds you, you can speak in secret again, you know, speak close to each other. And I don't think of this, like, when roundtable hold, I thought of this as secret, like literally keeping it from people. I don't think she's keeping it from Godwin or anything like that. I just think this is, you know, pillow talk, like, literally just, you know, your faces are close to each other, so you're whispering.
We talked about this when we first talked about Fia and the role of the deathbed companion, all of that. Like, this is, you know, just the closest advisors to kings and stuff. They would talk in bed, you know, as they kept each other warm in those big drafty castles.
Yeah, bed warmers.
Yeah.
She says that she recovered Godwin's holobrand. Have you ever heard of a holobrand? After it was stolen by somebody in the roundtable hold, but she's looking for the other one. This is the curse mark of death.
Yeah.
The holobrand. Giving it another name here is irritating to me. I wish they just used the same vocabulary.
Yes. Yeah. You know, she's looking for this. So that rune was broken in two, one to kill Ronnie's soul, and then the one to kill the body ended up in, you know, Godwin's back. She says, you know, before the time comes, we receive our Lord, my hands will be dirtied once more by the deed. Will you let me hold you even then? I don't know what deed that is.
I'm not exactly sure what that's specifically referring to.
Yeah.
She wants the curse mark though, and you can give her the one you pulled from Ronnie's body. And she's again, very surprised. She's really interesting since this is the witch, like the crone zone in the middle of the game where you're doing services for witches. It's interesting to contrast the two because Ronnie, reluctantly, but like recruits you, you know, she pushes you away a couple of times, you know, like don't follow me. But she wants you to, you know, and you do so. Whereas Fia is surprised. Like, you were never Fia's champion. Rajir was, and Rajir died, though. So, like, you kind of come along to be this person. You know, Rajir was on the path to finding this curse mark, right? They had worked about it. Like, there's really, like, an interrupted destiny kind of thing going on here.
Yeah.
Where you are just picking up the slack. Like, you aren't the step tarnished. You're the tarnished that stepped up. And... and that's why she's constantly surprised by this shit.
Well, I mean, you know, she didn't even ask you to do this.
And you know, it just like you're coming upon this moment of despair. You know, she's here, you know, doing her job, being the deathbed companion, but there's nothing would happen without you. And that's true of the rest of the game because video games,
right?
You know, but this was a dead end.
Yeah, she has no more agents. You know, this is kind of the last place that she can go.
No more agents, and Dee's brother is encroaching on her, effectively. And we've just killed her protectors.
Right.
You know, it's really cool that we just kind of grab that torch and pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, for her, because I want another option for the ending. Yeah, I did it for completionist reasons.
Which I may or may not take.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to take. It doesn't seem so bad, but like I'm not going to play this game six times.
especially with how similar all the endings are. And you can give it to her, and she tells you what she's going to do. With this, Godwin can take his rightful place as the first of the dead and claim a second illustrious life. You are our true champion.
Yep. Woohoo. She gives you a shitty consumable.
Yeah.
The Radiant Baldachin's Blessing. It gives you a longer poise boost. Doesn't affect your vitality. They can only make one of them in their entire life.
Uh-huh.
This little consumable. Imagine spending your entire life to make like an amber drop. Yeah. Or something like a thing that most players are just going to have in their inventory at the end because it's too good to use.
Well, not that it's too good to use, because it's not worth using.
The benefit's actually really good on this. It's a big poise boost, and then also a really huge, I think it's like 35% defense.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize the defense thing. Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's just you'll never use it because there's only one in the entire game.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But that description, only one of them for a champion in her entire life, the soul blessing, which she imbues of her own volition, which is funny because like all of the others kind of seem to, it seems that the blessing is inadvertent just through the act of the embrace. Like this is the one that she chooses to give.
Well, that's what this implies. I never thought that before.
Yeah.
Like it's real weird to think about, she's just popping them out on accident before this. Like, I think that's the idea.
Yeah, she has to touch you without the gloves. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The wearing white except for the gloves. So she says she'll soon lay with Godwin. It'll surely stir within me the new life of the Golden Prince as the rune of those who live in death. And she asks you to brandish her child, this rune that she's going to make, that she does birth. Mm-hmm. Like it talks about how she gestates it.
Yeah.
When you take the throne.
Yeah.
And her giving birth to this, much like in Lightning Crashes, leads to her death. Yeah. One of the best songs about giving birth to a rune with unforeseen consequences.
Yeah.
Those and again, who live in death. And speaking of lightning crashes, here comes Fortisax.
Baby?
I wasn't expecting it. Like,
damn, dude.
Yeah, it's all chaining together really well. Comboing off over here.
You didn't even plan that. That's great.
No, I'm always thinking about live a little bit. Like, live takes up about 2% of my brain.
I just wish somebody would get them shirts. They seem so cold.
I would pay. Here's the thing that would make VR like an unquestionably great investment for me.
Okay.
Is a VR simulator where you're at a live concert, they're playing on stage, and you have to stealthily sneak up and cut off his like ponytail or his like rat tail. Imagine the power.
just like, oh, you knock into something, he turns around and smiles at you. Oh, you almost got me.
Yeah, and then at Five Nights at Freddy's, like he gets all up in your face, and then you just get a load screen.
Do we want to read into what she means by soon I will lay with Godwin and bear this? This to me feels a little bit similar to borrowing some of the gravitas of the intimate language there. There is some process that is happening where essences are being combined in order to make this. And she is giving of herself to, bring this rune forward. This feels more like a magical rite than anything sexual insofar as like, this is her literally enacting being the mother by attempting to birth this new future. Right.
Yeah. 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 And this is nothing new to like Christianity and
right.
And religions blur these lines. Yeah. You get into it, when we get to Dee's brother showing up and we talk about that, he takes it more literally.
Yes.
This bitch of a mother, you're not going to be a mom to anything else.
Right.
Yeah. But it is a magical rite. That's how I think of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not too talking about the endings, but should we talk about what this rune like implies?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. Cause So what this is going through this path, all of the different ending paths are associated with like a philosophy that you want to see happen in the lands between. Like, what future do you imagine? And this is one in which death comes back.
Right.
You know, it's at first I thought this was like a Land of the Undead kind of scenario. It's not.
No.
It is death comes for all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural, something that we would think of as a natural order.
Yes. Where there is not this, you know, family line, you know, literally the immortal Queen Marika and anybody associated with the Golden Lord, the Golden Order, having these, you know, unnaturally long lives, the Tarnished, who, you know, come back over and over again, you know, this force, this grace, this golden light, you know, of whatever outer being is animating this, that isn't around anymore. You know, the death rune retakes its proper place in the Elden Ring. You know, after America had, I believe, took it out, and things are allowed to die again. It is not this invasive force where it is skeleton land. It's not the, you know, the skeleton,
peaceful skeleton realm.
Yeah. It's not the skeleton ending from, the Phantom Betula, that in that good indie horror game. It is good.
Yeah. Much to my chagrin. Like I wouldn't have turned down skeleton ending, like, you know, peaceful land of the undead.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trope I really like.
Uh-huh.
Like we're doing a Tides of Numenera for WoW, and it's reminding me of the undead village in Torment.
Yeah.
You know, just like we're fine.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're not evil just because we're skeletons, assholes.
Right.
I like that kind of stuff. You know, this is restoring death.
Yeah. And her ending, you know, it's the age of dusk, right? This is not, you know, utter darkness. It is not oblivion. It is literally just, you know, you can read dusk as this balance of light and dark. It is this twilight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At least that's the way that I read it, right?
Yeah. That feels the best to me as well. It's one of the good endings I would consider. Like, I think this is one of the better, you know, good, quote unquote, like,
yes,
morally good. You're not fucking over the world. You're doing something possibly sustainable.
Yes.
Endings.
Yeah. While also still understanding that all of these endings pretty much are another outer force asserting itself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not going to be like a paradise ending, but it's closer, you know, like you're exercising what little agency you have to influence this.
Mm-hmm.
And within the bounding box of what this is, it's one of the better options.
Yeah. It's just a question of how maligned, you know, is destined death, you know, this force. You know, is it only, you know, so bad because of the terrible stuff that people have done, you know, around it, right?
Yeah.
No clue.
Weirdly, they hide one of the resonance bosses here.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come back. You come back and she's lying asleep and unresponsive. And if you interact with her, we get prompted to go to a dream realm.
Yeah.
Into her deathbed dream. We're pulling this kind of bullshit again, where you like go fight somebody in a mindscape, fight the Shadow King, baby. When we do this, we go to an instance version of the same cavern, you know, similar to the Ever Jails. But the sky is full of this whirling kind of cosmic chaos.
Yeah.
Here
looks like the, looks like Jupiter. You got those like whirling, the whirling cosmic clouds up there. It rules. It looks real cool. And I do not know why.
I don't really like, I'm hoping that the DLC, it's not going to provide answers about dream realms.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole point of adding a dream realm to your game is you don't want to do answers.
Right.
It feels like to me. But I hope that there is some more dream realms that we go into so we can kind of get a sense of the rules.
Yeah.
Of it, I guess.
I wanted to check and see if this was something related to the dragons. So I went and watched videos of Placidusax. No, that is not a similar kind of realm to go into for that.
It's also that with the timeline, that's explicitly time travel.
Yes.
Stuff like you're going back in time. This is I don't know exactly what's happening here other than you going to her dream, and her dream, I imagine, is influenced by proximity or relationship to Godwin, because she's dreaming about Lich Dragon Fortisax. When I usually dream about Naked Marge. The Simpsons reference. I don't get into homegrown Simpsons stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This, I imagine this is a shared dream, you know, kind of deal, because the rune isn't out yet. We haven't gotten that. There must be some kind of, with her comatose beneath it, there has to be some kind of, you know, melding here. Like, you are going in. It's, I guess it's not weird because Fortisac's not born a lich dragon. Fortisac's good guy, ended up, you know, trying to stave off this dust and death and became corrupted by it. I could kind of see, again, this is me bringing a lot to it. This is my 30%, but, I could kind of see like Lich Dragon be Fortisac's being present and needs to be exercised, almost in order to enact this. Yeah.
Yeah. Godwin has to give up this last like fetter.
Yes.
You know, almost. This is Godwin's buddy here. In terms of a boss fight, I missed this on my first playthrough.
Okay.
I came back and fought it the second time, and I was intimidated by it because I knew I hadn't fought Fortisac's or Placidusac's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, big legendary dragons.
Yeah.
I had, you know, thoughts of Madeir. I ended up being intimidated by this guy, and he's no big deal, at least to me. He's got like 2 dozen moves, but... they're just the dragon moves that we know.
I mean, the thing that makes the difference is he's not an HP sponge.
It goes down pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, doesn't have the massive, instant death stuff that, like, the instant dragon, ancient dragon, there we go, in Dark Souls 2 has, right?
No. I mean, he has Death Blight, but that's a meter that fills up, and you have to hang out in the Death Blight fart.
Yeah,
to get hurt. It's infected with his really badass looking lightning.
Oh yeah,
and he has tons of lightning attacks and stuff too. But just something about this guy was just like really no big deal to me, and it's not a brag. Like other things, I had a huge problem with, but this nothing.
I think that's a popular like where we're coming down, and this is a popular opinion about about old 40 here. Other people initially thinking it was going to be a big deal, and it is a lot of shock and awe, right? He has that red lightning, and this could possibly be the first time that we have encountered that. Other dragons that we have seen have been lesser, right? Like Grail, you know, I think maybe her roar might have a little bit of this red lightning, but the red lightning that we primarily get is like on the confirmed ancient dragons, Lanciax and Placidusax, right? This, you know, true lightning of the sky associated with Feramazula.
Also noticing that and being intimidated by it, for me at least, requires paying more attention than I'm paying attention to in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those aren't the kind of details I'm noticing in a fight because I'm too busy doing a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just dodging the things. I'm not, you know, analyzing them at that time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was really expecting a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointed in this guy. And I'm glad that he turned into a lich and Godwin could do better. So the
At a distance, he does have that the big lightning storm kind of deal that brings up the death blight. Up close, he just has the double, like you will draw these two lightning spears and then spike them into the ground right next to you kind of stuff.
When you kill him, we get a Legendfeld message. We get his remembrance, making all remembrance runs. Take this little detour. And through this kind of stuff, we can learn about Fortisac's. Fortisac's became friends with Godwin when they were battling with the Battle of the Ancient Dragons in the capital. And their friendship was enough so they could sue for peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dragons would be spared at this point.
Yeah. But, not really have much of a place for themselves, you know, kind of being locked out of Feramazula since it's the big, big gyre in the sky kind of deal. And ultimately ending up down in, down around Caelid. At least they were not, they were not wiped out.
Yes.
Godwin's soul died, like we said. Fortisac remained here by his side to help him fight off that corruption like a true buddy, but was corrupted in turn. You know, turns out this ancient dragon nowhere near enough to, you know, take on the burden of two gods, basically, here.
Yeah. So died because he would not leave his friend's side.
Yeah.
You know, or got corrupted. You know,
like that died dog because he fucked Futurama. With the
wrong tarnished. Yeah. but ultimately led to his doom. like mm-hmm. the dog from Futurama.
Yes.
We can make a couple of lightning incantations mm-hmm. From his body that I can't really imagine using. I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah, yeah. The lightning spear seems to be a little bit more useful than the one that does the death blight. Again, the aforementioned limitations on death blight, right?
Yeah. Maybe they're good in PvP.
Maybe.
Doing this, you get kicked from the dream and you're near Fia, and Fia now has the rune of death floating above her abdomen.
Yes.
So this again unlocks the ending for you. But there's a little bit more to the story here because yeah. Fia had enemies. D's mumbling idiot brother, if we give him the armor, it snaps him out of his fugue state.
Uh-huh.
And we return to this area and he kills Fia.
Yeah, you have to reload this. It sucks that this doesn't have to happen. That just like, oh yeah, no, I could have totally just left him there. No, I had to empower him, didn't I? Yeah. And he killed
her. You can kill him there too.
True.
You can prevent this from happening, but you have to know.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to happen. And it's not like it doesn't give you any clues, but like also it's counterintuitive to think that many steps ahead, I think.
Yes.
You're like, oh, she killed D, so he's probably D's brother who just mumbles.
Yeah.
You know, on the side of this bridge will probably come kill her. So I might as well kill him to be, you know, you're not trained to kill NPCs preemptively in these games. Like that's almost always a bad idea.
Right. This is a Coen Brothers-esque tragedy is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, again, there's that tragic, kind of angle on this. Fia doesn't have to be alive for her fate to, you know, continue. She knew that when she gave, you know, she says, you know, I just, by doing this, I'm going to be gone, but my future will be, you know, will be guaranteed. He did all of this basically for nothing because you have this rune and he doesn't even kill you. He just, you know, you show up, you reload the area, and he's covered in blood standing next to her, and he gives this speech, which is right out of the Alfred from Bloodborne kind of angle when he kills Annalise, right?
Yeah, very very similar.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut this speech in because it's neat.
Prince of Death, take a good long look. See the wrath of the Golden Order, the Order's justice writ in blood. This is what's become of your precious witch. Naught but expired meat and bone. This is a proper death, O Prince. Look at this rotten hole. No more children can be got from this useless flesh. Behold, your mother is dead. This is revenge, you witch. And you, you ghoul. This is the wrath of D.
The reason why he does not attack you is because he is not philosophically minded about this.
No.
Like, he's a zealot. He's not thinking, you know, it's similar to, and boy, this is the only comparison that comes to mind, but nobody yell at me. It's similar to how people who are... you know, studies show that like the way that you have, you know, making abortions illegal doesn't make there be fewer mm-hmm. of them, right?
Yeah,
there's a way to make there be fewer abortions that has nothing to do with that.
Right.
If the actual goal was fewer abortions, mm-hmm. you know, then people who are against abortion would follow those goals.
Yeah.
But the goal is to punish people who want them. It's a moral, it's a zealotry. It's mm-hmm. it's a moral stance of a very Old Testament Golden mm-hmm. Order, this should be punished,
right?
Kind of way. So he doesn't care that you have the rune because that's too big for him. He's not interested in philosophically fighting those who live in death or this mm-hmm. thing. He just wants to punish people who fuck around with it.
I mean, it may be even dopier. He has no reason to think that you're with her. Like, he doesn't see you take the rune.
Well, that's
like,
true too.
He's like, he just found her comatose laying there and killed her. You know, there's no honor. And, you know, he just insulted her. Look at this rotten witch. You know, this is revenge.
Yeah. I mean, it's for sure. Like, like that's definitely like he might not know. I think of him as not being a philosophical force in this. Like, he is a foot soldier
mm-hmm.
of this idea.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah. Asshole. Which I don't know. It's not good. Don't like this guy. Don't like D. Don't like his brother. You can talk to him, you know, and he says, oh, the Golden Order remains unsullied. And now he can look his brother in the eye. And he says, you know, honeyed rays of gold deliver my spirit, you know, like a true zealot. He's not going to, you know, stick around. He feels like he's enacted his purpose. And he's going to go. He sees that, you know, this last act will have put him, you know, high in the ranks, you know, in the favor of the Golden Order.
Yeah. If you reload, his armor will be here along with a sword. His sword, which is an alloy of gold and silver, and talks about the inseparable twins found solace in the Golden Order, the only institution not to revile them as accursed beings. I was trying to figure this out, because what about them would be inherently accursed?
The notion that they are two bodies with one soul. Remember that? And you know, only one of them could be, I don't know, that could be a particular kind of curse in, you know, this world that, you know, does revere the soul. Yeah.
Well, it's just weird because it's unique.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a known thing like Misbegotten or People Touched by the Crucible or like
Albin things that are,
like known qualities mm-hmm. of people. They're just being this one unique set of twins who have this one condition. You know, it's also a condition that lends itself really well to being not literally true.
Uh-huh.
You know, like it's a known metaphor for closeness of brothers.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so I found this a strange line.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're accursed because they're huge assholes.
Yeah, that could also be the thing. That might just be just real pieces of work. And people like, hey, you know, don't hang around with those guys. The only institution not to revile them for sucking so much.
Yeah. They'll take them. The army will take you. you know, it's like that kind of thing. Like, there's always room there. They're just being a one-off curse of this thing that is barely spoken to really underlines my, like, D isn't a character. He's a prop in Fia's storyline.
Yeah.
This.
You know. And, you know, Stans, I think it feels pretty intentional putting D and D's brother as these zealots against Fia, who is so outwardly altruistic. You know, she sounds priestly in this, or at least, I mean, even beyond that, she sounds kind of savory. She is taking on the hatred and slings and arrows that go against her children. You know, there really is kind of a sense of she is sacrificing herself or dying for their sins, the sin of their creation. Right.
The only precedent we have for that in the Souls series is Maiden Astraea.
Yes.
You know, as well, which is a saintly figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or portrayed as such, like blah blah blah. Don't argue with me. There's more to it. You know, I understand that, but it's is also portrayed as somebody who takes on that, and then also that parallel with real life religion. Mm-hmm. You know, taking on that sin, taking on that burden is a known religious figure thing. So,
mm-hmm.
It's a great sort. You know, it's in a game without Ronnie's storyline. This might be the best NPC storyline.
Yeah,
in the game, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love Fia stuff. Fia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's rest in peace. Again, probably not going to take your ending, you know, if I'm rolling in anything, it's going to be Ronnie or Gold Mask, but you know.
Yeah. Just, I also, my first ending was Frenzied Flame.
because Scroob defeating. Yeah.
Cause I didn't know. I thought I would maybe get a choice.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I didn't get a choice. I didn't know how to divest myself from it because that's esoteric as shit.
Yeah.
This is a bland but good ending that I'm philosophically mm-hmm. down with.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Yeah. That's gonna be it for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we want to tell people about Duckstream?
Yes. Yes, we do. Duckstream. We this is our yearly charity 48-hour live stream that we do for the Transactive Gender Project at Lewis and Clark College. Mm-hmm. We're doing it this year, the weekend of the 16th, 17th, and 18th of December.
Mm-hmm.
Starting at 6 p.m. PST, with the West Coast crew taking the night shift and the Cole crew taking the mm-hmm. day shift.
Yeah, the scattered to the winds crew over here. Everybody who is not Portland. Details about what we're going to be doing are going to be coming. I know that the West Coast, the Portland crew, you guys have some neat stuff planned, right?
I'm trying to do more non-video game things this year. So like more games, more like, you know, bits and bobs.
Yeah.
You know, try and do a little bit more of that, because I feel like you can watch people, like most years we'll do some Jackbox and we'll do some Duck Game, and we just kind of, and you can do that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel like that necessarily like highlights our dynamic as well as maybe some other stuff. So still there'll be plenty of that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to open it up.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's a good cause, you know.
That's a great cause.
Yeah. It is more important now than ever than, you know, to support trans youth. You know,
yeah.
Big deal. This will be like the eighth or ninth year that we've done this. Coming up on that.
Yeah. So please donate, tune in, do all those things. It's a highlight of our year. It's really fun. We appreciate everybody who watches and donates.
Yeah. You know, if you're listening to this, you have already supported us, and we appreciate it. Go check out the other stuff that you have available to you, and we'll be back next week continuing with Ronnie's quest line headed down to Noxtella.
Yes. Until next time, take care of yourself. Check out the other shows. We appreciate you.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.
And we all pray that we will have far more soon.